Today is the feast of the finding of the Holy Cross. At Mass today we have commemoration of the fourth Sunday after Easter, and thus there is a proper last gospel. Of course, today is the day of the May crowning, the beginning of our Blessed Mother's special month. So not only here do we honor our Blessed Mother, but in your homes, we'd encourage you to set up some kind of a May altars, maybe simply to have flowers or whatever you feel inspired to do. And what's the purpose there? Well, to honor the Mother of God, and then through that to return to her veneration and her intercession. Then looking ahead, a week and a half, we have the Feast of the Ascension. So you will have Mass on Ascension Thursday. Mass will be at 6 in the evening. Make the arrangements you need for that. And then there will be Mass Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that weekend. The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, let this be mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself as nothing, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and having found as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for which cause God hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that the Lord Jesus is in the glory of God the Father. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Let's take it from that according to St. John. At that time there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art come a teacher from God, for no man can do these signs which thou dost, unless God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to thee, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born is the flesh, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Wonder not that I say to thee, you must be born again. The Spirit breatheth where he will, and thou hearest his voice, but thou knowest not whence he cometh or whither he goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be done? Jesus answered and said to him, Art thou a minister in Israel, and knowest not these things? Amen, amen, I say to thee, that we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you receive not our testimony. If I have spoken to you earthly things, and you believe not, how will you believe if I speak to you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him may not perish, but have life everlasting. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted out. That whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but have life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, we are familiar with various hymns to our Blessed Mother. There are some of them that we have sung today, and others that we know, like Immaculate Mary and Hail Holy Queen. But we might ask ourselves, well, is there a hymn not so much to Our Lady, but from Our Lady, and that is, composed by her? And the answer is yes. We usually call it a canticle rather than a hymn, and Our Lady composed it in Aramaic, which is something like Hebrew, so it's a different language, but it is a poem hymn, and that's called the Magnificat. It is recorded in St. Luke's Gospel at the time of Mary's visitation to St. Elizabeth. And it starts with the words, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," and in Latin is, the words are "Magnificat anima mea Domino." And what does magnify mean here? Well, we think of a magnifying glass. It doesn't make something bigger. Let's say we're looking at a coin. So we have a very special old coin. We're looking at it through a magnifying glass. Well, the coin doesn't get bigger, but we see it as a bigger image. And so Our Lady, God doesn't get bigger, but Our Lady is putting before her soul and then before all of us this bigger image of God and his wonderful works with regard to her. So if you want to say, what kind of a hymn or a prayer is the Magnificat? Well, it's a prayer of adoration. And so it's good for us to review our catechism a little bit and say, well, what does the first commandment tell me to do? It's the first commandment of God, of course. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me. What does it tell me to do? It tells me to love and adore God and to pray to him. And then we ask also from the catechism, how do we adore God? And the answer is we adore God by acts of faith, of hope, and of charity. So when we look at the Magnificat, we look at our Blessed Mother, she is adoring God by acts of faith and hope and charity. And indeed, we see this in our Blessed Mother in all of her life. On earth, even though Our Lady had the fullness of grace, she did not yet see God face to face as she does in heaven. So upon earth, she had the beautiful virtue of faith, where we listen to what God tells us, and we embrace it. And it says, we give it the hug of our heart. And so we say, well, how can we consider this? And perhaps in the rosary and the various mysteries of the rosary. Well, we think of the very first joyful mystery. The angel Gabriel came to Our Lady and told her that she was to be the mother of the Messiah. And then she had a question, and the angel answered it, and then she said, "Be it done to me according to thy word." It wasn't, "Oh, this is too much." No. She received God's teaching. And then when Our Lady went to visit St. Elizabeth, what was St. Elizabeth praised? "Blessed is she who has believed, for all those things shall be accomplished." So when we think of faith, then, which is, and acts of faith is one of the means of adoration. You see that in the first and then the second joyful mysteries of the rosary. And then we think of hope. What is hope? Well, that's that special strength of our soul by which we count on God's goodness to fulfill those things that he has promised, those things that we need for our salvation. So we count on God's promises. And our Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would rise from the dead. His enemies understood it. His friends were a little, maybe not so clearly. And there's a beautiful explanation of that from St. Vincent Ferrer. He was a Dominican priest, and he worked through him. God worked many, many miracles. It was like every morning they'd ring the miracle bell. But he gave a very beautiful sermon about our Lord's resurrection. He said, if we look at the apostles, they were all in fear and they were hiding. The holy women were going to finish our Lord's funeral and burial, to finish with the spices. What was Our Lady doing? And he says, well, she was preparing to receive. She had absolute confidence in his promise that he would rise from the dead. And the way we might put it was, Our Lady was cooking breakfast. on the first Easter Sunday morning. Everyone else was in fear or whatever else, but she was preparing. So she counted on our Lord's promise with absolute perfection. And so that's something that we can contemplate then when we consider the first glorious mystery of the Rosary. And then the third and the greatest of the acts of adoration is charity or the love of God. And faith and hope are for this world, but charity continues into heaven, St. Paul tells us. And so where do we see that with Our Lady? Well, first of all, in the second joyful mystery, even though Our Lady had just been told she was to be the Mother of God, but she was also told that her cousin, St. Elizabeth, who was old and thought she would never be able to have a baby, was going to have a baby. And what does Our Lady do? She hurries and she gets on her donkey or however she traveled, and she goes to help Elizabeth, goes to help St. Elizabeth. She reaches out to help. So that's, we see that charity in us, and again, in the second joyful mystery. And then there's another place that's not directly in the Mysteries of the Rosary, and that is at the wedding feast of Cana. So there were some relatives were getting married, and they had the wedding feast and so on, and the important thing was to have wine, and our Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles came, and at a certain point they were running out of wine, and that would have been a big embarrassment. So what does Our Lady do? Well, she doesn't say, oh, no problem. She sees that there might be embarrassment and turns to her divine son and says, they have no wine. And then there's an exchange, and it's a little mysterious, but basically Our Lord says he's going to advance the time of his first miracle, and Our Lady turns to the waiters and the folks who are looking after the feast, and he says, whatever he shall tell you and do ye. And of course, that's when Our Lord had them fill the big urns with water, and he turned it into wine, and not just a little bit, but well over 100 gallons of wine for that feast and for a wedding gift for the newlyweds. And so these are three different times then we can think of Our Lady in her life, adoring God by acts of faith and hope and charity. So what does that mean for you and for me? Well, first of all, we should think about them. Read through the Bible, sacred scripture. We should meditate on them, upon them, especially as we pray a rosary and day by day. But also we should ask our Lady to help us with faith and hope and charity. Faith to believe firmly everything that God has revealed and His Church teaches. With hope to count on His goodness for those things that we need. Yes, for our body, but more importantly for our soul. We can think of that in the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. The bread of our soul, and deliver us from evil. And then charity, to love God above all things. It's not so much a feeling as a priority. We say, well, I can do this one thing or another, but what would be the more loving thing to do for God? And that's what we do. And we get going and get it done. So that we imitate our Blessed Mother. Sometimes we might be a little bit lazy about the love of God, but we should think of or the love of our neighbor. We should think of Our Lady hurrying to get on her donkey and go up to help St. Elizabeth. And that is what we need to do. So if we consider then the Magnificat and these acts of faith, hope, and charity, then we will draw close to our Blessed Mother, and she will draw us to her Son in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.